Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
All right. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson. 97.1. Did a little Spartan talk earlier in the show. We'll get to some Michigan stuff. Gator, it is going to be fascinating to see how they operate offensively at Nebraska. It is going to be really, really interesting to compare and contrast Oklahoma to Nebraska. Similar hostile environments. I think Oklahoma's defense with seven guys that were four-year defensive players for Brett Venables probably is better than Nebraska's defense. It's hard to know with Nebraska. They just beat Houston Baptist. And then
say that again.
They just beat Houston Baptist.
Okay. All right.
Like 90-0.
Probably learn a lot from that game.
Yeah, I think it was Miles Brand. He was the acting NCAA president when he allowed games against FCS opponents to count towards your bowl eligibility and opened up the floodgates for things like Houston Baptist going to Nebraska. Not a fan. They also beat Akron. And they beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati was actually an entertaining game to watch. Still trying to figure out how Nebraska is. Trying to figure out, you know, Matt Rhule. They say he's looking for a signature win. You know, looking for a big one. But people were not happy with Michigan's offensive game plan against Oklahoma. I think Michigan collectively, the program, did some self-reflection. But they roll out a little bit more with the kid each week, right? I mean, that's sort of part of the deal when you're breaking in. Like, there seemed to be some outrage that Bryce Underwood and the Michigan offense wasn't a finished product in week two. And the question is, are they going to, was what they did last week indicative of a high success rate with him on the ground against a better opponent? And we'll see. And that's, I think there's a lot that goes into it. Like, here's what we didn't see at home against Central Michigan. We didn't see Bryce throw to a receiver who was blocking. We didn't see Bryce throw to the pylon when the receiver went to the goalpost. We didn't see Bryce see ghosts against Oklahoma. And what I mean by that is he sometimes had a clean pocket and was throwing off his back foot or bailing out of there when he didn't need to. And all that comes with experience. So we'll see what it looks like this time around. I'm fascinated to see it.
I think the critics of what happened with Oklahoma, I don't think they expected perfection in week two. I just think that they expected to give him a chance. Let him make mistakes. Let him go out and try to air it out or take off and run or whatever the case was. Open it up a little, certainly more than what they did. I think that was the criticism with the Oklahoma game.
That was one. People who are more reasonable were criticizing that.
I think that's the majority of those people that were critical of it. Of course, you're going to get the crazies that think, oh, from week one, he should be ready to go. What the hell? He had all summer to practice. But I think that that's a crazy lunatic fringe. Nonetheless, here they are, a game at Nebraska. He's got this really, really nice game that he finished up against Central. The whole team can be proud of a 63-3 win. And they manhandled a team that they were superior to. But you got to do it. And they did. And they did it easily. So what do you expect against Nebraska, well, Nebraska is a step up in competition from Central Michigan. I don't know if the game plan changes any. Now, maybe to your point, does the playbook, do they feed them a little bit more of the playbook this week? Sure. I guess that's going to be part of it. But I think Michigan fans are probably pretty happy with what they saw last week. Like, keep doing whatever worked last week. Keep trying to make that work this week. But be prepared. It may not, because Nebraska is not Central Michigan.
So one of the greater challenges of a young quarterback is what they see pre-snap. And, you know, what is Nebraska going to throw at them before the ball is snapped? Because Brett Venables threw the kitchen sink at the kid. And it's not, you know, it's not to say that they couldn't have had a better game plan, but I wonder a little bit about things that they might change to be better prepared for what the kid now can recognize. The kid, what Bryce Underwood recognizes pre-snap, you know, how that differs from what he can diagnose before the ball snapped against Nebraska as opposed to Oklahoma. So that's a big part of it. The Michigan offensive line had a couple of injuries, one that seems to be somewhat serious in that the Gio Alhadi injury at the one guard spot. Brady Norton, I believe, is back this week. He was at the other guard spot. But Jake Guanera and Nathan Afobe did a nice job at the guard spots. They might be able to run the ball a little bit better and protect a little bit better. You know, I asked Jansen about it because Jansen has this ability to watch an entire offensive line play, all five guys from snap to the whistle, and see who took the wrong step, who had bad hand placement. I guess that's what happens when your entire career is spent in the NFL watching a line play, is you can watch five guys play at once and figure out what went wrong. But he said as that game went on, that group of Link, Afobe, Crippen, Guarnera, and Sprague got better. And that's a big deal. That is a big deal because it changes everything.
Well, it's funny because the focus, I'm just saying this, what you're bringing up, but it just is seemingly that the focus comes out, it's about what can Bryce Underwood do against Nebraska. Well, Nebraska's got their second-year quarterback in Dylan Raiola, mm-hmm. who is every bit the hype quarterback that Bryce Underwood was. He's got the full year under his belt, and now he's got three games this year under his belt. He's slung it around, 73 passes in the first two games. He had 21 more in the last game against Houston Christian.
Baptist.
Sorry.
It is Houston Christian. I'm sorry. It's not. It's the Houston Christian Huskies. My apologies.
Yes, and he was 15 of 21 in the game. He's got 8 touchdown passes on the year, no interceptions, and he has thrown it a fair amount. That is going to be the focus of the game, I think. It's not necessarily what Bryce Underwood's going to do. What will Michigan's defense do with Dylan Raiola? Are they going to be able to contain him? Because he's starting to show his potential, albeit not against great competition. Cincinnati was pretty good. In the Cincinnati game, he completed almost 80% of his passes in that game.
If the Michigan defense plays better, it should make you feel a lot better about what John Mateer did to Michigan's defense, because that might just be, dude, they got a guy. They got a guy that's going to give everybody problems in Mateer, and he was great that day.
And Mateer is a different kind of quarterback.
Mateer is really special. But Raiola, if you have your chances to get Raiola to the ground, get him to the ground. The tackling was better this week, as it should be, against Central Michigan. But, you know, the other thing that they did, Jayshon Barham at the edge rusher, shot out of a cannon. Against CMU. Again, tougher task ahead. We will find out pretty quickly here if Jayshon Barham as an edge rusher is something to stay. What they did, and Wink Martindale did this last year. Wink Martindale's the year went on, the defensive coordinator figured out, hey, here's how I can craft a really good defense around these two interior defensive linemen, and Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. And there was some stuff, there was some growth that took place there. This year, he knew early going in, we've got a really deep linebacker room. He said, I feel like I got 4 starters. They're moving Barham to edge, whether that's permanent or not, or whether he'll go back and forth, we'll see. Cole Sullivan took some edge snaps as well from his linebacker spot, leaving Jimmy Roller and Ernest Hausman at linebacker. And then the Georgia commit, Troy Bowles, who's been hurt, he's exceptionally talented as well. So they're moving They're moving some guys, some pieces around defensively. So big test this week.
And Nebraska's got they've got the ability to run the football. Their running back Emmett Johnson's done a real nice job. He's got a couple 100-yard games under his belt already. The first two games of the season went up for over 100. And you know what the running game does? It opens up more of the passing game, play action, and you know, kind of freezing safeties when you can do things like that. So this is a real legitimate test for Michigan's defense, and certainly for their offense too.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
All right, just a couple things to. We're going to empty the bucket here. Okay, sorry. This is stuff that I got to use most of the good stuff. And the blowouts, you kind of have a chance to storytell and get to all that. So you don't get to everything, ever get to everything. But maybe the two things that you will like the most. Right, here we go. Empty the bucket. All right, Gator Tyson Davis. Receiver for CMU, one of their good ones, went to Goodrich High School.
Goodrich?
Goodrich High School. Do you know what the Goodrich High School nickname is?
The Laughing Cows?
They're not the Laughing Cows. Kang, do you have any idea what Goodrich is?
Dude, I like Laughing Cow, do you? The cheese?
I mean, it's cheese, man.
You like all cheese. I don't have a better guess than that, Doug, if that's what you're asking.
They are the Goodrich Martians.
The Martians?
They're the Martians.
Oh. Angry Martian Gator?
Right. Did they have Marvin on their helmets?
Yeah.
No, it looks like a Spartan head, but instead of like the feathers on top, it's letters that spell out Martians. So
that's like, Marvin's helmet.
I get it, but they are the Martians.
I like it. A lot.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you would. They have a tight end named Henry Dryden. He is a transfer student from the South Dakota School of the Mines.
MINES?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you know what the South Dakota School of the Mines nickname is?
The Panners.
They are not the Panners. At one point, they were known as the Longhairs.
Well, that's not in anymore.
That's better than the Shorthairs.
They are now known as the Hard Rockers.
Hard Rockers. Okay, I got it.
So
Hard Rock Mining, yeah.
But alas, Dryden didn't get thrown a football, and I couldn't use it.
Where did he go to high school? Oh, you just said that. South Dakota.
He went to South Dakota School of the Mines. Was his previous
School of the Mines or School of Mines?
Might have been just School of Mines, but I'll have to look it up again here.
I'd hate for you to get something on the bucket wrong.
Yeah, well, it's true. But I just had it in front of me, and then I deleted the page.
So. It's better than a School of Mimes, because nobody likes a mime.
No. South Dakota School of the Mines. MINES. He's from Boise, and he's environmental and metallurgical engineering major.
Good for him.
Yep. He's a rock dude.
He's a rock dude.
Yep. Anyway, there it is. That's the bucket.
Studying at Central Michigan.
All right. So Thank you. Today is National Guacamole Day.
What?
Today is National Guacamole Day. I think every list that is put together of things that people don't like as a kid, but do like as an adult, includes guacamole. Is that a safe bet? Kids do not like guacamole. Adults love guacamole.
I think that is the quintessential acquired taste type thing. And you do acquire it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And you love it at some point. I think most, yeah, I 100% agree with that statement. That's something that most kids do not enjoy right off the bat. Avocado, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I mean, for me, it was after college when I had like real guacamole, because the guacamole we had when we were kids wasn't homemade. So it was the store-bought stuff, and it was the store-bought stuff before they knew how to really prepare it. So it was like almost like mayonnaise-based. It was like a little soupy. It was terrible.
That sounds awful.
It was.
And I never had any mayonnaise-based guacamole.
And I remember
guacamole.
Getting it like the guacamole in a tub that just was terrible. And then I discovered like real guacamole. Went to a Mexican restaurant where they made it tableside, and it was fantastic. I'm like, well, where has this been my whole life? Then I had a buddy of mine used to make it. His name's Ernest. So we make guac earn moly. It's fantastic.
That's a reach.
He's awesome. So, but
still a reach.
Nothing but his character or anything
like
that.
I love guacamole now. You know?
Dude, I hated guacamole so much as a kid. I never even had it. I thought it was disgusting. You know what I mean? Like,
green.
You don't even try it. Yeah, it's green. It looks mushy. No thanks. That's gross.
Yeah.
Don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? You never had it. Trust me.
Like, is this something my dog vomited like up? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. But then you try it later and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I mean, and it's weird because I think it's one of these things where even people that don't like cilantro, they still like guacamole. Like, well, maybe in guacamole I can handle cilantro.
Right. All right. Other things that would be on that list. All right. I'm going to throw a few things out here that people love as adults, but they don't love them as a kid. That goes there with guacamole on this National Guacamole.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Molly Day. Naps. I used to hate it when I had to go take a nap when I was a kid. Now as an adult, I'm like, hey, how about a nap?
Gator just took a nap yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It was a great nap, wasn't it?
Sure was. I don't remember being forced to take a nap as a kid.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happened. I just don't remember it. You know, time for you to go take a nap. I just don't remember it. I think, you know, once you get past a certain age, it's all you're outside playing with your friends all the time. And in Michigan, then you're outside playing in the snow, whether you're sledding or snowball fights or whatever. It was always something you were doing. You know, then video games come around, and that occupies your time. Of course, nothing like a good book, right? No, I mean, that's – am I right, Doug?
I do like a good book.
That's going to keep me from the nap.
Reading a good book right now.
But, yes, napping today's awesome.
Oh, I would love a nap today. Like today, right? Right after the show.
Can't promise anything. All right, let me throw something else. As a kid, you hate it. As an adult, what about rainy days?
No, I don't like rainy days.
Don't you?
No, I like it overnight to sleep when it's raining.
Okay.
I do not like rainy days.
Kang, you? How do you
feel? I definitely appreciate a rainy day more now than as a kid. As a kid, that just means you couldn't go outside. But nowadays, I think kids are different. They want to be inside, unfortunately.
For me, it's also a little different because I got the dog. The dog doesn't care if it's raining or not. She wants to go out and get the dirty paw factor, so no.
Okay.
Also, when it's rainy day, I don't have to water the grass. So
that's
free water, man.
Here's something I'm not sure. I might be the only one. Brussels sprouts.
No, that's a big change, too.
As a kid, you hate them. As an adult?
As an adult, you find out that they flash fry them with the balsamic vinegar on it. And
bacon.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly. All the good stuff.
Yeah. That's good, like, Brussels sprouts.
Where has this been all my life? This wasn't the...
That's how you're supposed to make them.
Yeah, that's not the crap that mom was trying to pass on me when I was 14.
Okay, this one might be just me. Being alone. Like, if the wife and the kids are gone, and then we're going to get a lot of this now, but when the house was empty and everybody was gone for like the whole afternoon and I was home alone, I'm like, what kind of glorious existence is this?
Yeah, that's going to change for you.
It's probably going to change
quickly. You're
going to
go back the other because you're going to miss everybody. It's gone.
That's 100% true.
I've always been fine doing things by myself if I had to. If I needed to go see a movie, wanted to see it by myself, I was cool with it. If I wanted to go grab something to eat, I didn't mind sitting at a bar somewhere and grabbing a bite to eat. I don't have to be around people. Mm-hmm. I've always been cool with that.
Kang, what about you?
Yeah, you're right about this one. As an adult, I definitely don't mind being alone. Now I could take a nap if I was alone. I would love that.
There you go.
And then if it's rainy, I don't have to water the grass.
Knock it all off the list. Yeah. You're taking a nap while it's raining and you're by yourself? Oof. Yeah.
What else? Do you got any more that would belong on this list?
Fattened up by guacamole.
I got one. I think as a kid, you hated spicy food. But as an adult, you come to appreciate it. Not everybody, of course, but I think you appreciate it more. Even if it's just a little kick, you know? You don't have to go over the top like some of these people.
Yeah.
I remember being at like Tiger Stadium getting a nacho and then, you know, with the jalapenos there. I'm like, oh, that's hot. I don't know if I don't want the jalapenos.
You don't want that, Ben.
And now it's like, I want all that smoke. Bring it on. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. I was always told this was an acquired taste, and I totally bought into it in like my mid to late 30s. Scotch.
Really?
Yeah, scotch. I definitely didn't like scotch as a kid.
No, I didn't like it as a kid. Have a sip of my dad's scotch when I was young. No, and it's terrible. Ew. I always like, what's that like? You want a sip? All right. Ew. Yep. Keep that in mind.
Girls is another one, too. Girls, I didn't like them
girls
as a kid.
Are great.
Yeah. No, but the problem is when you're a kid, here's the issue. They have cooties.
Duh.
Yeah, so I don't want cooties.
No one wants that.
But scotch was like, even when I...
Dude, beer.
Drinking age, I didn't like it.
Remember the first time your dad let you have a sip of a beer?
Yeah.
Apparently you liked it a lot more than I did.
No, it's just there's a sense memory of it. Like, I did not like it, but there's like, I just totally remember dad sitting in his chair and he'd have a glass of beer or if he had a scotch and I always wanted to try it and like, oh, that's not, ew. And then he would get a smile on his face. And then like when I first started drinking beer, there are times that I'll have a beer and it'll take me back to when I was like 8 years old. And I remember my dad drinking an old Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know? Or a Stroh's signature. Absolutely, I have those memories about it.
Well, there you go. Just some of the things that go on the list on this National Guacamole Day.
What about pecans?
I always liked them.
Did you always like?
It's not like that. I mean, because my only memories of pecans when I was a kid is in pecan pie. So I had a positive attitude from day one.
Did you like nuts as a kid, Kang?
Like honey roasted nuts, I think were fine. Cashews, yeah, I actually did. I don't have a problem with that.
Pecans, I like something I had to grow into enjoy. I did. Cashews scared me. I don't know why. It's a taste.
It scared
peanut.
You?
Yeah, it was like this bigger looking. I didn't like
them. Like a fear?
Yeah, I remember my parents had like a party one time when I was younger, and they had like this whole nut assortment, and I grabbed one that was like this giant looking, I don't know what the hell it was, like a filibuster.
A Brazil nut or whatever?
Maybe a Brazil nut or something like that. And I almost vomited. I had like a dry heave moment with it. And then it was, from that point on, I was like, I don't want any of this stuff. And then in my 30s, I think is when I rediscovered cashews. Like, these are delicious. Why have I not enjoyed the cashew all my life?
There you go. So we like football here at the Carson Anderson program. And last night there were two Monday night games. And the first game, you know, I'm watching Baker Mayfield. And I'm watching Baker Mayfield get the football back with, you know, just over a minute to go. Maybe it was just over 2 minutes. No, it was inside 2 minutes, wasn't it? It was late. And he had to go length of field and score a touchdown. And he put together one of these gutsy drives that included, you know, him a fourth and 10 scramble where he somersaulted. He didn't somersault for the first down, but he just got in the first down. Then he gets hit and does a somersault. Gets up limping. He's getting in guys' faces. He's completing passes, downfield, short, scrambling around, getting in defenders' faces, and he puts in one of these, you know, gutsy type of late.
Really gutty character.
And it's the first.
Full of grit.
Yeah. Was it the first they put the stat up there that he was the first quarterback and Tampa's the first team to win both of their first two games with, like, their last possession needing a touchdown, driving down, scoring it? And I'm thinking, this is the same Baker Mayfield that was an emergency break glass quarterback for the Rams a few years ago when they were playing in Seattle. And the Lions needed the Rams to win. And Mayfield got put in the game and had to leave him on a late drive. And right now, Baker looks like one of those guys. You give him the football at the end of a game, he's going to go win it. He's going to go win it. But.
Alas.
Remember that?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that did happen, that. Right?
No.
He's the same guy. Right now, he looks like this dude who will not be denied. He's unstoppable.
Baker Mayfield was waived by the Carolina Panthers. That's real. Okay? I give him credit, man. I thought he was donezo. And he's one of the better quarterbacks in this league. And Tampa's a really, really good team.
I couldn't. I just watching this thing last night, and I've seen him with Baker the last couple of years. And I'm just like, how is this guy's career arc? Remember when he first joined the league and he was State Farm funny guy? Lived in the stadium. Remember all that? And everybody in Goodwill.
And the whole
then
thing.
He lost his shine. Man, did he lose his shine. Waived by the Panthers. Emergency break glass quarterback for the Rams.
And he has completely reinvented himself. Yeah, I mean, it looked like his career was flatlined. Or he was big-time bust. And I had no faith in the guy. I would rip him every chance I could. And
yeah, you did.
Well, that game with the Rams, it didn't help him at all. No. But I give him all the credit. He has completely resurrected his career with the Buccaneers, and he has become. He epitomizes what grit really is. You know, for the quarterback position, he is tough as nails. He'll take the hit. He scrambles. He runs for the extra yard, and. You know, gets flipped all over the place, doesn't matter. And he's got a good arm. He's a good quarterback. I'm not going to say he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. And, you know, they'll need him in that division. What he is good enough. And he's got good players around him, too. So that's the team that probably should win that division. I still don't really like him, though.
Why don't
I can
like
respect him. I can't forget.
About that Rams game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Lions still went out. They did what they had to. They were at Green Bay, and they beat the Packers. You know, you had set Aaron Rodgers, had to walk off the field, his last game ever. His last pass was an interception. Oh, so sad. Too bad.
No, the Rams games was first, right?
That's what made that. I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Lions still went out and did the job, because that's a credit to Dan Campbell and getting his team fired up. Hey, we may not be making a
playoff.
They were
in the 4 o'clock window, right? They were in the 4 o'clock window, and the Lions had the Sunday night game. His first contract with Cleveland, Baker Mayfield made like $30 million. And then he was at Carolina, he was making $3.5 million. When he was with the Rams, he made $1.3 million. Now he's back up to making $26 million. Like, that guy was on his way. His next stop was Winnipeg, if any stop in football.
So, you say he's making $26 million now?
I think it is, yeah.
When is his contract up? Because he's about to cash in.
Well, he signed a three-year deal. Because when he first got to Tampa, he only signed a one-year deal. They didn't know he was going to be good or not. It was a prove-it deal. He proved it, and then he got the three-year extension
after
that.
What's left on it? Because he's going
to... Oh, that was 2024 is when he signed the new deal.
So he's got one more year after this.
Yeah, he's going to cash in for north of 40 for sure.
He's 30 years old. The way he plays the game, though, I don't know if he is going to cash in, because the way he plays the game, it feels like TikTok. Longevity becomes a thing.
You got to pay quarterbacks.
I know, but I just don't know if he can survive it.
He may not get the five-year, you know, $230 million deal, but a three-year deal, I could see that happening for him, where he gets paid $45 to $50
million. He had that feeling, that look last night, that if you need a drive at the end of a game to win it, you want Baker Mayfield leading that drive. Hard to believe that that's the same guy.
And the Browns have Joe Flacco.
Dude, it's hysterical. The Browns could have this guy. Yeah, they got Joe Flacco, and they've got trillions of dollars wrapped up in Deshaun Watson.
I know. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And they could just have had the guy that they drafted, yeah. Baker Mayfield.
You can't even be like, I wish we had him. You had him. You literally had him.
God, that was a smart team that took it. That was us. Oh, the Browns. I mean, we're not really in a position to laugh at people given the history over here, but...
It's okay.
Can we laugh? I guess we can giggle a little bit now. Giggle a little bit now?
Giggle a little bit, yeah.
Just a quick follow-up. People have asked. There was no Jared Goff interview today because of the Monday night game next week. We will be talking with Jared tomorrow. And yes, look forward to asking about the Ford Field Leap. How the Ford Field Leap went. Whether or not we're going to see this again from Jared. I feel like he may be, knowing Jared, he'll be I got to do better. He's the kind of guy that'll say.
Oh, 100%. He'll talk about the missed pass he had in the first half.
No, I'm talking about the leap. He's going to talk about that. How he has to do better on the leap.
Well, he addressed that after the game. That it was just, he's disappointed. It looked like almost, I mean, the lack of ability. It's like, I don't know if he understands it's the jump and twist motion you have to make when you're trying to do that, or if he just couldn't, it was too high for him to jump because he doesn't have the vertical, or was he tripped on the way into it?
Maybe just
I think that's the question we have to ask, and that's how we ask it. Which one of these is probably most appropriate to describe what the failure was in the game?
Do you see he's got to overcome injury? He's got to play hurt now?
Yeah.
According to Adam Schefter,
not playing, Doug.
Sean McVay says he tore his plantar fascia while coaching the Rams to victory over the Tennessee Titans last Sunday.
He's just a coach. He's not a player, Doug.
He's got to overcome.
No matter how much he thinks he is.
Speaking of gutsy and grit, right?
Oh, good God.
He's got that dog in him. He's like the Baker Mayfield of coaches.
He is like the Baker. That's a great call.
He's just, you know what he's doing? He's just following Matt Patricia's example. You know, when Patricia was on the sideline with the...
Same category?
Yeah.
One won the Super Bowl and the other one was a disaster?
Wait, Patricia won Super Bowls, just not as a head coach.
No. He came up just shy of that.
They both suck.
Well, it was an entertaining first game. Houston's got to cut down on the penalties. I opted out of the second game. Kang, even you opted out of the second.
Yeah, I watched up to the fourth quarter, and then I'm like, this is getting late. Geno's just throwing picks and then I see Tom Brady looking handsome in the owner's box. Or no, it wasn't even the owner's box. It was coach's booth, right, Gator? I'm not sure. They let this guy get away with a lot. I think at some point.
Even I am like, all right.
Well, the NFL's making statements now on what he can and cannot do. Like, should we even be doing this?
He's done with the meetings. He could be in the booth, but he's done with the meetings.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Rico Beard. What's up, man?
Hey, you opted out of the Raiders Chargers game?
I did.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. No, they should have just had one game, and it should have just been the Texans and the Bucks, and it would have been a great Monday night.
It was an entertaining game. It was kind of sloppy, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was like eating that third Coney dog. Like, yeah, you probably should have stopped that too.
yeah, with a third one.
Right, but in the end, you probably should have stopped that too.
What do you guys got planned coming up next?
We're going to start the show off. Mike has a sports admission, and we have no idea what it is. He's going to let us know. Got a little MSU at 3 and some Tigers around the 5 o'clock hour.
Have a great show.
Thanks, man. And yes, you bastards, go enjoy the day.
Hey, everybody out there, stay safe and truly treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.